You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Astronauts podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Harms. You can find me on Twitter at InHarmsWay19. Last week, I know there are some finals that were still going on. Congratulations to all of you that did end up winning your fantasy leagues. We are now into the postseason, but now that we're in the postseason, that really brings us into the dynasty aspect of fantasy football. And that's why I once again wanted to have on one of the experts of dynasty football, fantasy football, whatever you want to call it, Scott Belanger, a.k.a. Jax Falcone on Twitter. You can find him at Dino Game Theory on Twitter. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. My maiden voyage went well, so I'm ready for this one.
Oh, yeah, man. We have a little thing going on. We both are on each other's podcast now. It feels really nice to have a guest really comfortable, especially one as familiar with Dynasty football as you are, because myself, this is probably my second full season doing Dynasty football. So, like, I've gotten my toes in the water a little bit. I'm ready to just jump in. And one of the people I wanted to jump in with me was you to help me guide my way through fantasy dynasty football. So let's go ahead. This episode is going to be fully built around young dynasty assets. I know that we had a ton this past season. The wide receiver group was off the charts talent wise. I don't know if we'll see another one like that relatively soon. The number one guy I think that most people coming into the season didn't know what to do with, and right now I think he's going to be one of the most valuable assets, depending on what happens with the situation, is Christian Watson, wide receiver that came out of North Dakota State University last year and now is in Green Bay. Started off a little rough. Then Aaron Rodgers said, fuck it, I need to get the ball to this guy matter what. So just a little recap. How did you see Christian Watson this season in terms of finding his way in the NFL?
Well, it's interesting. I'll chalk Christian Watson up as a miss for me and actually a learning experience. It's funny because I was in a league. This is the learning experience that I got from Christian Watson. So I was in a league where it's a bit of a novice league. And this one guy who's relatively new to Dynasty took Jalen Waddle well ahead of ADP, right? Yeah. I think he took him, oh my God, it was 1.04 or something in a Superflex league that year. I was like, what the hell? And I remember laughing at him and if you go back, he was not wrong, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, now if you redo it, it's like, Chase Waddle, so
I get it.
Right? So like he was right. Now whether his process was right or wrong, it's irrelevant, but like looking back at that decision, Jalen Waddle had draft capital, and because he had that draft capital, maybe that's what this guy was basing it off of. You know, he's like an NFL draft. You know, he's an NFL guy. He's not new to Dynasty, but like, he knows NFL or whatever. And I thought about that. I was like, maybe before everything happens, because we do all the rankings now. We start talking about 2023 class. I've got my rankings. He's got his rankings. Whoa, we all talk. And then the NFL draft happens, and we all kind of look at each other and shuffle up a deal, And so what I'm thinking here is not to overvalue draft capital, but to revalue draft capital insofar as like, I think I pushed Christian Watson down a little too far. There were just players I liked better, like Sky Moore and George Pickens, et cetera. And it's like, well, I'm not saying that I was wrong or right, but the draft capital meant something and still does. And, maybe he could have busted, and he did look a little busty on the profile, small school guy, not that much production, older prospect, senior, there's a lot of things on there that just, he doesn't tick those boxes, but man, he looked good on the field and I'm ready to readjust right now.
Yeah. I think that was one of my bigger things is because I'm still not fully on the, I was wrong about Christian Watson train. I'm a big believer in LaFleur, the whole system there, Aaron Rodgers. We know what he does. And if you really watch Christian Watson, my biggest takeaway this year was that he fits beautifully into what they want to do schematically. Get athletes in space. That's what they want to do. And honestly, that's awesome because he fits perfectly for that. I still have some questions about him as a receiver that doesn't really matter so much when you're in an offense like that. So you can be technically right about a prospect the way that he is, but also wrong about his fantasy impact. That's what I'm learning right now, because this is really, I do a lot of draft coverage, not just offensive players. I do the whole nine yards, offense, defense. We do draft content over at the NFL 33 Substack that I'm a part of, like that. So
I love the fucking draft, dude.
It's wholly intensive. And I tell you what, trying to mesh your prospect scouting with dynasty and fantasy can actually give you a little bit of a, I don't really know the word to describe it, but it gives you a little bit of a blind spot for impact. I wasn't huge on Christian Watson. A lot of people thought he was going to be like a first round pick. And I was like, no. He's not a first round pick. If he's around 50, that's about where I'm okay taking him. I personally had him as a third round receiver grade. But you come into this season, out of all of the receivers with a minimum of 20% of targets of 176, he was 11th in the NFL in yards per route run. Now, that's not a perfect stat. Okay. It's not a perfect stat.
Pretty good one.
It's a nice one, though. It's one we really do like to use. Also, out of all of the receivers listed that are above him, only one had an average depth of target longer than Christian Watson. This is exactly what you're looking for the type of production of a player. Aaron Rodgers helps that. Is he going to be in Green Bay next year? I don't know. This is where we get a little bit of an inside peek, because I think he wants to play. I really think he wants to play. Aaron Rodgers loved playing things close to the chest. So if you had to decide absolutely right this second, you obviously don't have to, how would you feel about Christian Watson going forward, given that his quarterback situation is relatively unknown?
I think Rodgers is back. I just think he's back. So for me, I'm a buyer of Christian Watson. The problem that I have is he's valued very, very highly.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're stealing Christian Watson.
Very true.
But insofar as whether or not I think it's like, you know, a false flag, or whether or not I think he's actually going to, continue to offer value, I think he's good. Mm-hmm. I think you're fine moving forward with him, and I think he's going to take a step forward. So yeah, I'm into Christian Watson as far as, you know, buying or selling type of thing. But you can get into the whole value proposition as to, you know, whether I'd have rather have him or this person or whatever. But here's the thing: like you mentioned, he was a third round prospect. He was a first round athlete.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure. Absolutely.
That was a fact. And so all we were really wondering was, could he do this, that, or the other? He didn't really show a ton of nuance at this level so far.
Correct.
But he may not need to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
very true.
As long as he's in an offense with a quarterback that can deliver him the ball, he can fucking run. That's a fact. This dude can move.
Absolutely.
And he's pretty, like, I don't know, like, you know, there's fast and then there's football fast. He's pretty football fast. Like, he can move his hips pretty good and, like, change direction and get across the field. And, you know, he can create some separation out there. So, you know, he's not a nuanced route runner. He's not a win at the catch point guy yet. I mean, these are things that he can develop. So, you know, he's a little bit of an older prospect. He was raw. All those things showed. But also, so didn't the explosiveness and the ability to compete at the NFL level. I think it's a check mark on those things. And, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, calling like a wide receiver one type of player.
Okay.
In other words, like, you know, a top 12, 15 dynasty asset at the wide receiver position going forward. But he could get there. It's not out of the question that he could get there. So, you know, I don't see that happening, but he's certainly a solid, solid play. And especially, you know, in deeper leagues and best ball leagues, obviously he's a huge, huge asset. You know, if it's a shallow league where you've got to decide whether you're starting him or someone else on a shallow roster, he's going to be a tough one because he's going to have boom bust weeks given his, you know, like you mentioned, his average depth of target. But you know what? You can take that.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up best ball, because right now I lean towards him being a much better best ball player than a wide receiver two you can count on every single week. Because if we go back to just looking at his numbers, the first 7 games that he played, he produced 0 100-yard games, 0 touchdowns. From there, you have 4 games with at least a touchdown, and 2 out of those 4 games were over 100 yards. From then on, one, two, three, four games, zero touchdowns, one game over 100 yards. He could very well be a huge boom or bust player, very reminiscent to what we see in Buffalo with Gabe Davis. I think Christian Watson's got far more upside because he's a way better athlete. You can get him the ball in space and he can work. Gabe Davis can't do that. He is a very deep touchdown dependent player. Watson has the upside because one, you have Aaron Rodgers and you are schemed up in that offense. Look at the way that they scheme up Aaron Jones in the running game. Christian Watson is an extension of that and he gets the ball down the field. So I'm very high on what he can be dynasty wise, maybe in 2 or 3 years. I think right now he's probably a best ball player, but then you have to figure quarterback situation in 2 or 3 years. I don't know. I think people want Jordan Love to be something. I don't really think he's going to be, and his value could take a hit relatively soon because Aaron Rodgers isn't playing. So
here's the thing. Like, I just pulled up keep trade cut, which I know is not end all be all, but I do like it for getting the pulse of the general public on players. Christian Watson is currently the wide receiver 19 in dynasty ahead of the aforementioned George Pickens and Treylon Burks. I'd much rather have Treylon Burks. Chris Godwin, Michael Pittman, Jerry Jeudy, DJ Moore, it's like, I'll take all those guys, DJ Moore is 25, Christian Watson's 23. So it's like, even though you could say, well, he's way older, it's not way older. I think there's, enough, Rashad Bateman's way down there. I mean, I'd love to trade if I had, Christian Watson. I'd love to trade Christian Watson for Rashad Bateman plus.
These situations with the quarterback, I don't know. And that's what makes it really hard. If we're just talking player prospect, yeah, I would take Bateman in a heartbeat. But the offense in Baltimore is not good. And I don't think Lamar Jackson is going to be there. So it makes it gives you that other layer of texture when you're trying to figure out what to do with these dynasty assets. And I do think, all things considered, the one consistent with this is that Christian Watson will still be in LaFleur's offense, which gets the ball in space and I think has more upside than a la Baltimore with Rashad Bateman, even though I believe he's a much better wide receiver. So it's a lot of fun to talk about because I do think that these young guys, especially after what they did this season, is always fun to kind of gauge where we're at with these guys, especially with Christian Watson. But let's move a little bit to someone that's probably really, I think, is going to be a lot of fun next year personally. I do think that the Atlanta Falcons are going to stick with Desmond Ridder. We had talked on your podcast when I was on it a few weeks ago about the possibility of some running back competition in Atlanta. So, first of all, do you think the Atlanta Falcons are going to stick with Desmond Ridder another year? Do you think they draft a quarterback this year?
They're going to add competition at the quarterback position, and I think the competition will come in the form of a quarterback that is better than Desmond Ridder and will likely start ahead of Desmond Ridder. So, yeah, I don't think Desmond Ridder will be the long-term answer, and I don't really even think he's necessarily the short-term answer. I would be looking to sell Desmond Ridder directly to you in any league I'm in.
That's fine. There are some guys that I just like,
I may be wrong, but that's the way I see it. And, just because the draft capital wasn't necessarily there, I don't think he did enough to be like, holy shit, Desmond Ridder, huh? That's the guy. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think he was good. And I love Desmond Ridder. Let's just start by saying, like, if we were like running a team, I'd be like, love to have him on the team.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'd love to have him on the team, I don't know that I want him as my starting quarterback because I don't think that is a top 15 team in the league. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, we're going to have a really good squad. Like, if he was in San Francisco, whatever. Absolutely. Almost anybody could run that ship. But, he's not. And so, therefore, I think they're going to need a little bit more from that position.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you just said. I think he's a perfect backup quarterback. I actually think he's a perfect type of, maybe down the road, perfect backup quarterback. He needs some seasoning right now. And the last game of the season, showed a lot for me in terms of being a backup quarterback, someone you can get out there, run the offense, and he can deliver some touchdown throws. He's a winner, man.
I love this kid. He competes.
I love that.
You could do a lot worse. I mean, I certainly wouldn't replace him with some other stiff. I would only upgrade from him. If I'm lateral, any sort of lateral move, I would actually stick with Desmond Ridder. So, you know, if they're just bringing in another second round, I know he was drafted after that, but like any second round pick or like, I don't know, some like, I'm not going to Gardner Minshew for him, you know, even though I love Gardner, you know, too. It's like, no. I'd rather win or lose with a guy like Desmond Ridder than just, you know, do that, rearrange the deck chairs. So for that reason, I think there's a possibility, and I think he can push aside weak competition and earn the role.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you there. So I think we both see Desmond Ridder relatively the same. And if you had to give me something to guess before the season started, it was not Tyler Allgeier being the, what, second leading rusher among rookies? I think it was something like that, nearly 1,000 yards on the year for him if he didn't actually get it. That was not something I expected to see coming.
Right.
Out of BYU, this guy, I'll be very honest with you, I was not high on his ability to run a three-down offense. And while he did have some help with Cordell Patterson at the end of the season there, he was, you know, obviously, there was also Caleb Huntley. There was a lot of weird stuff that Arthur Smith was doing there. But at the end of the day, Tyler Allgeier was able to get all of the things that he did in this season. And I will credit, once again, Arthur Smith, who I love, with the run game that he does a really great job of scheming up an even bad offensive line for a rookie running back. But like I said, I think that there's going to be a running back drafted. I don't know if it's going to be Bijan, even though I think we both kind of like the idea of having him in Atlanta. But as far as a young offense with a young quarterback, young receivers, young running back, Allgeier, do you think that they're going to go stick with him after this season? Do you think that Arthur Smith sees him as the guy that he can give nearly 300 touches to a season and just kind of work him? Or is he going to have to continue to bring in some competition just because they don't really know what this offense is?
You know, it's funny when you have a guy like Tyler Allgeier, you know, it was like the same thing with, you know, James Robinson, you know, before James Robinson got eviscerated by Travis Etienne, I warned everybody that he might get eviscerated by, we even said it, Nate Liss and I actually said they're going to draft Travis Etienne in the first round. I mean, Nate Liss said it, and I was like, yep. And so we said it on my pod. And here's the thing. If they draft anybody in round one or round two or round three or round four, that running back will have more draft capital than Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah.
And so it's not like they have to go, oh, what if they draft a, it doesn't matter. It can be any player in the world. You know, anybody before round five will have more draft capital than Tyler Allgeier. And so, yeah, he's a fragile running back in the dynasty sense, because if he doesn't have anything sticking him to opportunity, nothing other than, you know, I liked him. I mean, you go back and listen to my early pods last year. I was a Tyler Allgeier, like, hey, what about this guy? So, you know, my listeners are certainly happy because they were drafting Tyler Allgeier, you know, especially early. Late, he rose, man. I saw him go way too early in a lot of drafts, although, hey, it paid off because now they can flip him for more. You know, he was certainly an okay second-round pick, although I would have preferred to have waited a little bit longer. But, hey, as a second-round pick, he actually panned out. And so now I think, you know, I saw someone, one of my, followers and listeners and friends, showed me he traded a mid second. He got a mid second for him, 2023-2-5 or something like that. Okay. And, I was like, great job. And a lot of people would say, well, what are you talking about? It's a starting running back for Atlanta. He just had 1,000 yards. It's like, he's likely to not be that next year. Very, very likely. Now, is it possible he's that? Yes, of course it's possible, but it's more likely not.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm looking at some of his numbers right now in terms of running backs with 50% of 349 rushing attempts, which is an absurd amount, by the way. Yeah. That's a Derrick Henry thing. He is fourth among all those running backs in yards after contact per attempt. That kind of running style, as we know, is what Arthur Smith wants. And if you look at the running back directly ahead of him, it's Derrick Henry. That's kind of funny, I thought. Just wanted to give you guys that. He also forced 51 missed tackles, which was eighth among those running backs. Not also, also something that was not on his BYU tape, in my opinion. So at least on the stat sheet, what he's doing, what he did, is not fake. This wasn't just a ton of open lanes he was running through and just getting a bunch of clear open yards. He was making guys miss. He was running people over, and to the tune of 170 zone rushes. That is a very Arthur Smith offense. So from what I'm looking at, from what I'm seeing this season with this offensive line, which I think is going to be better next year, they probably will add a running back. I'm just starting to wonder that maybe they just kind of stick it out. Maybe they just say, give you another year. We'll take a running back later on day three, and we'll let you kind of see. That's what I'm starting to feel that way. But I also understand that if Bijan's like sitting there and staring you in the face as Atlanta, and you don't want to take a quarterback that high, you're just, you get, you know, there's a, you know, the idle hands thing. I feel like sometimes coaches and GMs are just like, but this guy, I like this guy, and I feel like Bijan could be a very tempting offer. But that's for a whole other podcast whenever it gets closer to the draft. But I think right now I'm leaning towards Tyler Allgeier being the guy going forward, and it's a little tougher for me to dissect, right, just because of all the different running backs they had in Atlanta last year. Is Cordell Patterson coming back? Do they like Caleb Huntley still drafting a guy? I will say that the numbers look good for Tyler Allgeier, which is not what I expected.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he performed well. I mean, he's, you know, one of a few rookies in history. I mean, I'd say a few. I mean, you know, there's been a bunch of them, but if we go back, you know, only so far, you know, he's one of the more recent guys who got 200 attempts and 1,000 yards as a rookie. Yep. You know what? That's trust. But again, it's just not sticky enough. They'll hand the ball to anybody in this league. I mean that with all due respect. I'm not saying that he's just anybody. He might actually be a pretty good player. He could carve out a role. He could ascend and be that guy. But do remember, I mean, he ran a 4.6 flat.
Yeah.
He didn't have exactly the best burst or agility. He's not a prolific athlete. He's just a guy that's probably going to be a good pro for a long period of time. But I wouldn't necessarily expect much more. He may have had his best season, you know, in his career. And maybe not, but it's possible. So as much as I really like Allgeier, the fifth round capital makes him very fragile. So I'd just be careful overspending. And if you get someone who wants to give you any sort of first round pick in a dynasty league for Tyler Allgeier, you snap it.
Yeah, I would even consider a high second. Yep. For somebody like Allgeier, who could be a 1A to a running back committee, but that's what we're seeing in today's NFL, a committee. Yep. And while I like the numbers, I'm not sure that he's going to get much more than 1,035 yards ever again. But, you know, definitely could be wrong about that. Just on a little tiny note before we move on.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons offense could be a lot of fun in the next few years. They're adding a lot of pieces, and they're building this Arthur Smithian offense. And whether Desmond Ritter's it or not, whether they bring in a veteran quarterback, the things that they can do with one more receiver. You have Drake London, you have Kyle Pitts coming back next year, and then you add another receiver to that fold. This offense in the next 2 to 3 years, I believe, could actually be among the better ones in the NFL, especially if they let Arthur Smith stick it out as he did as the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. Those offenses, even with Ryan Tannehill, were legitimately good because they built it through Derrick Henry with AJ Brown, the offensive line. I think we're starting to see the inner workings starting to click for Arthur Smith and the Falcons. So just keep an eye on what's going on in Atlanta. And if it starts to change direction where they start to look good, try and get in on the ground floor of some of the cheaper pieces, Kyle Pitts coming off of injury while you can.
Just a name to remember that Ryan Tannehill could be, you know, a possibility for Atlanta. Absolutely. Given Arthur Smith's, you know, relationship with him. And, you know, they're not going to be a destination that, you know, the Jimmy G and the Derek Carr, you know, they're probably not landing that guy. They don't have a good enough pick unless they move up. And, you know, they missed their chance at Justin Fields. So now they might just go with another stopgap. And Ryan Tannehill's a pretty good little stopgap. You know, obviously anybody holding Ryan Tannehill in Dynasty is like, I like this. I like this. Right? You know, that'd be a great spot for Tannehill. And I don't think it's such a bad spot for Atlanta, you know, because as you point out, if Tannehill is not good, then they've got Desmond Ridder. So I think that's probably a good little 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. That sounds fun. Just kind of reunite the band, man. Yeah. Just bring them back together. And you got some big targets that can go get the football. So
they need some defenders, though. So when you do your NFL draft pod, if you're not advising some defensive players, you might be doing this wrong.
Their entire draft could literally be maybe an offensive tackle or now and then, and then just straight defense. It needs them everywhere.
Put it this way. They should go into next season with Tyler Allgeier because that is not something they need to spend any. Look, here's the other thing too. Like I was shouting from the rooftop that they should that Jacksonville did not need to spend a premium pick on a running back, but they would. Same thing here with Atlanta. They do not need to spend a premium pick on a running back, but they might.
They might. They definitely might. Talk about premium picks. Last year, the Detroit Lions traded up to get Jameson Williams, who was my wide receiver one in the draft last year. This is probably one of the more polarizing things because he came back, obviously doesn't get a full role in the Lions offense. We're seeing Ben Johnson making the head coaching rounds right now. He's getting his interviews. What happens to the offense if Ben Johnson's not there? I tend to think it's probably going to be okay. But what are you doing right now with Jameson Williams? Are you confident that he's going to get full speed back? I think he looked pretty good in the season's end against the Packers where he had that touchdown called back. But that's just me.
I'm going to ask a question back at you. This is going to be a little painful maybe. I'm not sure. Someone's going to get hurt here.
Okay.
So if Jameson Williams was your wide receiver one, which is fine. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing because he's obviously very good. But if he was, I have to ask you, how could he be when he couldn't beat out Olave, Wilson, and the rest of the crew in Ohio State when he was there? Just tell me that. Just riddle me that.
Okay, well, I'll answer that question with another question. How did Joe Burrow not start in Ohio State and now he's one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, maybe? I don't know. Sometimes things just don't work out well. And also, I will say that Ohio State, their wide receivers are some of the most detail-oriented route running guys out there. Now, Jameson Williams is not a bad route runner by any stretch when he was coming out of Alabama, but Marvin Harrison, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, these guys are tacticians. Okay. They had the athleticism as well. Jameson Williams is faster than any of them. He's faster than any of them. And sometimes that does, from what I've seen at Ohio State, that will make, it won't start over tacticians. They do, their offense is very much timing, precision. That's why you see CJ Stroud, who up until the national championship game, pocket passer, get the ball out on time and deliver it in a spot where your guy is going to be. That's very much timing. Jameson Williams sometimes needs a little bit to get open. He needs a little bit of a leeway, and he did. And I will say now, while he was my wide receiver one, if I did it again, he would not be my wide receiver one, not because of the injury. But I think I had some questions about Garrett Wilson that were answered this season, and he would have been my wide receiver one in that class. But that's neither here nor there. So yeah, Jameson Williams is not, like I said, to answer your question fully, Jameson Williams is not the route runners that any of the guys that have been Ohio State are. And I think that leads into who started and who didn't.
I think it's an okay answer. I still have a hard time with it. So my question, so some of the guys that do NFL draft, which you do, and I got into it with them about Henry Ruggs. Yeah. And they were like, Henry Ruggs is going to be the first wide receiver taken. He's so good. He's going to be awesome in the NFL. And I'm like, I don't think so. And now we'll never really know, but we pretty much know. And my reason was I thought maybe – I even tried to give them outs in a lot of conversations that I had on Twitter. I was like, do you mean he's good in like real football or do you think he's going to be – like an elite fantasy, like an elite producer in terms of numbers, like a Like, because those could be two different things, especially when you're talking with, you know, football guys, not a fantasy guy, not a fantasy nerd type of guy. Mm-hmm. And this was a conversation I was having with a football guy. It was Benjamin Albright, actually. And I was like, I don't think he's the wide receiver one at all in that class. I'm like, CeeDee Lamb is the wide receiver one in that class. Now, it turned out to be very, very right. I mean, I suppose it could have been, you know, whatever. Justin Jefferson obviously was very, very right. But point of the matter is that Lamb versus Ruggs. Now, when we unfold it and we say, okay, well, they were just looking for a speed guy who can mm-hmm. change the way the offense is played. Well, that's a different answer. That's a guy who's good for real football, but won't be good for fantasy football. If you say that to me, I'd be like, well, that could be fucking mm-hmm. true. I don't know the impact of DeSean Jackson on the offense, right? DeSean Jackson was never an elite fantasy player. I mean, he's a pretty good fantasy player because he was so good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was pretty instrumental in making good teams good, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now we come to Jameson Williams, and I say, is he closer to Christian Watson or Justin Jefferson? You know, is he closer to Henry Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb? You know, it's like, I think he's closer to the other guy. I'm not sure, but he's not Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. Can we agree on that, or do you think he is?
No, we can agree with that. He's not the he doesn't have that body type. And while I don't think he's anywhere close to Henry Ruggs, by the way, I did not like Henry Ruggs coming out. I did not. I liken this a lot to the Chiefs situation when the whole Tyreek Hill situation happened. They drafted a Mecole Hardman, okay? Terry McLaurin's still on the board. You have a lot of other receivers. Yeah. Terry McLaurin's the biggest thing for me. Everyone talks about DK Metcalf. No. Terry McLaurin is the guy they should have drafted with that pick.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's, like I said, that's neither here nor there. Mecole Hardman, not a very detailed route runner. Can't get open at all.
Yeah. Henry Ruggs, an awful pick. You're right.
Same player. Those guys are almost the same kind of player in my evaluation.
That's fair.
Where I had them. Yep. Jameson Williams, he understands from this is going just not, this is not fantasy related. This is just
football. Please.
He understands leverage much better than either of those guys do. When I say leverage, I mean defensive leverage. Reading what a corner or a safety is doing, where they're going, and anticipating how to make them miss.
Right.
Get open. He's better at getting open, even better than them when they were coming out. And again, it's hard to judge based on...
I think that's very, very accurate. I agree with that.
Yeah. It's hard to judge based on his trajectory right now. I'm going to go back and see some of the games that he played. Obviously, there was one, the first touchdown he caught, coverage bust. It was just wide open based off of Ben Johnson. So some of that will be hidden because of the scheme. But I'm hoping to see the same kind of tactician play from him, because a lot of that is mental as well.
He had a few drops, and he was a he was a liability in that Green Bay game a little bit, right?
I didn't see him play a ton, I'll be honest. I was a little busy.
He had some drops and like some missed assignments and stuff, and so, you know, it's like I'm a little bit nervous about Jameson Williams.
Absolutely.
I kept having the question. To me, he was nowhere near wide receiver one, respectfully, but I had the question, is it George Pickens or Jameson Williams? I thought that was the decision point. And probably should have moved Sky Moore the fuck out of there. Sorry about that. I had that one wrong. I had him ahead of both of them, but I still feel like Jameson Williams versus George Pickens is still a fine discussion. And I still have George Pickens ahead. What say you?
I understand it. The target share, for example, is going to be there for Pickens. He's going to command that. That's very obvious. I have my own concerns about George Pickens' play.
Me too.
I know that people say that he gets open fine. No, he doesn't get open fine, you guys. Right. He doesn't. He is not a separator in the NFL. There's a reason
he's a dog.
There's a reason has the most contested catches for a rookie almost ever, I think.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get open, and he has a quarterback that will throw a sack of potatoes up, and it doesn't do much. It falls in the air. So he also has to make those adjustments.
Yeah.
So the offense, while also he has a other target commanding receiver as of now on the other side of the field. If Deontay Johnson's not there, we are having a whole different discussion, because it's George Pickens every day of the week if Deontay Johnson's not there, in my opinion.
Just here's what I think is taking cuckoo pills, okay? Jameson Williams in keep trade cut is the wide receiver 16 ahead of the following. Davante Adams, Deebo Samuel, ooh, right? It's like way up there ahead of George Pickens, Treylon Burks, Chris Godwin, right? Michael Pittman. Like, he is way up there. One slot behind Drake London and Cooper Kupp. And to me, yo.
That's okay. So I'm
that's
high
expensive.
On him. That's completely outside of my realm right now. Like,
right? You have to think that he's pretty close to CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson in order to have him there. That's my point.
You'd have to.
You know, because at that point you're giving up. I mean, even a guy like Brandon Ayuk is 24 years old and just showed out. Like, he was great. And, you know, I don't know. It's just a tough one. And Pickens is, you know, some of these rookies are probably all too high. But, again, I wouldn't be changing my priors and moving Treylon Burks behind Jameson Williams, Christian Watson, and George Pickens. So, for me, you know, I don't know if everybody feels that way, but, you know, it certainly looks like they feel that way. And he's been a real stable asset the whole year. There's just a lot of people who are with you that he was the wide receiver one, that he's the best wide receiver in college football, best wide receiver in the draft, excuse me, and should be treated as such. Look, he's 21 years old. He's got room to grow. He's super fast. He played at Alabama and Ohio State. There's things to like. So, but it's an expensive price if, you know, when we've seen nothing at the pro level. I'm ready to be wrong about this kid, but it just feels like I would have a hard time pushing the button at that price.
Yeah, I think this was a really productive conversation that we had, because honestly, when you're talking about in the grand scheme of things, I love the player, but you also have to remember, this is not just, oh, I love the player, let's take him. You can't just make bad investments. And I don't think that Jameson Williams in the scheme of dynasty football assets is a smart decision to make. I believe he's going to be a good football player, but you want to know what? I'm not going to take him as a top 16 dynasty wide receiver. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. And well, I think
the king said it. I don't hate players. I hate ADPs. He was right the whole time. Like, if you were telling me Jameson Williams was wide receiver 30 next to like Gabe Davis, I'd be like, dude, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, this is ridiculous. Right. You know, this kid was fast. He put 1,500 yards up at Alabama. Blah, blah. I'd be singing all the positives. But, you know, everybody comes with a positive and a negative. And when you have to pay up, you better be sure you're getting it. Otherwise, like, there's other ways to go. And for me, that's where I always, like, I'm looking to trade down in a lot of situations in a dynasty draft just because I'm not sure I'm right. So the guy I'm about to take might be the wrong pick too. So I'd rather trade down, let you make the mistake, let me take the other guy, and it's probably the same guy anyway. Because like the aforementioned Terry McLaurin, who unfortunately is 27 years old, is also the wide receiver 27. So, like, you know, Terry McLaurin is going to be productive for 2-3 more years for sure. Chris Godwin, who's still only 26 years old, wide receiver 22. I don't know. I mean, the hope and promise of a potential Jameson Williams to me is like not worth way more than those guys.
No, I'm with you. So, I mean, I know we started this conversation talking about his skill set, and that kind of led everyone to believe that I would say he'd be worth it. But no, don't let the conversation fool you, because this was really productive one. I had a lot of fun talking about it.
Yes.
But he's not worth what he is being taken right now. And I don't think if you have Jameson Williams, I am not against the idea of selling Jameson Williams to someone who's really, really high on him. If you can get back into the first round pick for Jameson Williams, do it. Do it now and send out. Send out some feelers. See what you guys got out there for Jameson Williams. I ain't going to lie. That sounds like a lot of fun right now. Let's talk about someone we kind of have had a chance to look at in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the teams had a chance to look at and then want shit to do with, apparently. Elijah Moore is also somebody that I made an investment in this offseason, and it did not help my fantasy team at all. He was pretty much riding the bench almost all year until Mike White got starting, and then he had a couple weeks that I played in. But other than that, he rode the bench. And I mean, I would assume the Jets are going to be bringing in Derek Carr or
Jimmy G.
Garoppolo, someone like that.
Or outside chance at Tom Brady, but I agree with either Jimmy G or Derek Carr. I agree 100%.
Yeah, that's what I think. So if this is what does end up happening next year, we know that there has been some kind of friction in the organization. He requested a trade, then they kind of recommitted to him a little bit, got him back out there playing more. Is this someone you're looking to, you know, try and buy low right now? I think that that's a reasonable assumption. He's going to be a pretty low prospect in terms of what you can get for him. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, this is the opposite, right? This is the guy who's drafted early second round, the second pick of the second round. He's still only 22 years old. He was an elite prospect.
Yes, he was.
Let me ask you this question. We just said that, now without looking, we just said that Jameson Williams was the wide receiver 16 in Dynasty on keep trade cut again.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit flawed, but whatever. We'll use them for this purposes. You could argue that they're wrong a little bit, but they're not that wrong. Mm-hmm. Where do you think Elijah Moore is on that list?
If I had to guess, I'd say like 31.
He's wide receiver 44.
He's even lower than I thought. Okay.
Dude.
Okay.
Wide receiver 44. He's behind Gabe Davis, Kadarius Toney, Wandale Robinson, like Donovan Peoples-Jones. Like, what are you talking about? This is...
No, DPJ.
Yeah. And I love Donovan. Again.
I do like too. Donovan,
but Elijah Moore, like if you said Elijah Moore or Jameson Williams, I'd be like, I actually think I'd rather have Elijah Moore.
I understand. I understand the thought process, especially in terms of cheapness, in terms of value.
I'm saying straight up. And I'm not sure, but certainly when you take in value, I would gladly take Jameson Williams in terms of Elijah Moore plus.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
I think that's a very reasonable conversation to have. And Elijah Moore, for everything that gets talked about, I don't even understand what is getting talked about about Elijah Moore, because he's open. I did this early in the season when Zach Wilson came back and everyone's like, well, Elijah Moore sucks. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. And I went through and I have a tweet that's got clips of him just open ball missing him. And he's frustrated because not only is Garrett Wilson a really damn good player, by the way, he's on a team that has the quarterback situation that's unfunctional. Joe Flacco. Zach Wilson to Mike White, who finally operated the offense and made him kind of fantasy relevant for a little bit. The only time in his career outside of the 6 weeks that he had early on his rookie or middle of his rookie season. And now this whole limbo is going on with the Jets. They fired their offensive coordinator. I didn't really fire him. They let him go so he could pursue other opportunities. Okay. And they're going to get a new offensive coordinator. They're going to get a brand new quarterback next year. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of acquiring him, yes, absolutely. He's a very, very good player. We talked about detailed route running. This guy is very good at route running, very good at getting open, getting separation, and he has speed as well. It's not just college speed. He does have NFL speed. So I so badly want him on all of my teams possible. I'm probably going to have an overwhelming amount of Elijah Moore in redraft next year, but I'm also going to be sending out feelers for Fan Dynasty, like, right after we're done, like right now.
Yes. When you hear that he's the wide receiver 44, you're like, no, that's got to be a misprint.
It's got to be.
And here's the thing. I get it. But, you know, he scuffled down the stretch. Did you see what the Jets were the only team to not score a touchdown in the last three games of the season?
Oh, that's
like
upsetting.
They didn't score a touchdown. The team didn't score a touchdown. They scored 3, 6, and 6 points in the last three games.
Absurd.
That's 15 fucking points in three games. Like, what do you know? This is a dysfunctional offense that when Mike White was running it, they were like exalted. They were like, this is the greatest thing ever. Fans, teammates, everybody alike. This was quarterback hell. And of course, you're not going to have good wide receiver play when you have quarterback hell. So when Mike White played, he was good. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a season from hell. I don't think that has zero to do with Elijah Moore's talent or future. He's going to be a great player, and it's a great, great time to buy Elijah Moore. Bet on it.
Absolutely. I'm 100% with you. We don't have to spend too much time on him because I think we both are in the exact same mindset with Elijah Moore. Here's somebody I'm dying to get your opinion on. I'm dying. I'm just going to say his name and I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Trey Lance.
So it's very difficult for me. I don't want to grandstand. I don't want, because here's the thing. He got hurt. Mm-hmm. But my question going in, I'm going to look him up on Keep Trade Cut too right now, because this is the thing that drove me crazy. I was in many a startup. Well, I don't know about many, but enough startup drafts last year where Trey Lance was taken well into the first round. Mm-hmm. His ADP was right around the 1-2 turn in Superflex Dynasty yep. draft. So like he was a top 12, sometimes much higher, top 7 or 8 Dynasty startup quarterback. I was like, that feels very expensive.
Yes, it does.
That feels very expensive. Now, why is he expensive? Well, the reason he's expensive is because he portends as a player that could be like Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem, though. And this is the cold bucket of water that Trey Lance defenders need to eat. Trey Lance is not nearly the athlete that Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, and Lamar Jackson is. He just isn't. He's not even the athlete that Josh Allen is. Okay? This is a big guy who can move pretty well, but in order for him to really get there, it ain't going to be with his legs. I'm telling you right now. And it's just not. He go look. Anybody who's like, no, dude, go look at his rushing attempts, rush by rush, and tell me where the big plays are. Tell me. Find them. Show me. And then when you look at him and go, oh, there's some big plays in there. Go look at Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, shit. That's a different dude.
It is. Yeah. For sure.
That's a different guy. I don't want to get into all the numbers on it, but just go peek, pull it up, look. He ain't him. Right now, Trey Lance is still the quarterback 13.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can defend it because we had the show the other day and we're talking about after quarterback 12, it is kind of a who the fuck knows. Like cluster, that's yeah. kind of that's actually who's the quarterback 13 is. Who the fuck knows? Because it goes – check it out. So Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields. Okay. By the way, that's 8. Mm-hmm. They've got Kyler Murray there. That's a little bit of a question. Dak Prescott. Yeah. Okay. Deshaun Watson. Look, that's 11. Right? It gets a little weird, but look, if we're betting, I'm okay with betting on I'm Deshaun betting. Watson, yes. Dak Prescott, and Kyler Murray. They've got contracts. They're going to
yes.
play.
Yes,
it's like, I'm with you. But you're like, oh boy. But that's your quarterback 1. That's 11. You want to know who quarterback 12 is? It's Tua.
Okay.
Now, we all love Tua, but he is not playing in a playoff game because mm-hmm. of concussion issues. Well, that's a fucking problem.
Do you think he even plays in Miami problem. Next year?
You know what I mean? Like what do we and I feel bad because I don't like what do you, how do you evaluate? It's not like a knee where it's like, oh, how long?
Yeah.
10 months. Yeah. And he's fine. Cool. Like what's a concussion? Like, well, if he has one more,
multiple.
Like you know what I mean? Like when is the, it's a scary situation. Mm-hmm. And if you're holding Tua as a dynasty asset, what if he has one and then two quick, and his career's over or something. And you're mm-hmm. like, fuck, like yeah. you can't even see that coming. So very, very difficult. And then it's Trey Lance. And then I'll just read you the poo-poo platter behind him. You know, Kenny Pickett, Daniel Jones, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Mac Jones, Derek Carr, Geno Smith. So maybe he belongs there.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? So I'm not like anti. He's going to get another chance mm-hmm. to start, I believe. I believe.
We'll find not out. Guaranteed anymore.
It's not guaranteed anymore because we've seen now I'm not equating Trey Lance to Josh Rosen, but we've seen teams move off of a player like Josh Rosen. We're hearing that, you know, Chicago might move off of Justin Fields, right? We're hearing that. Teams are not married to their first quarterback. Zach Wilson's getting moved off of. Now, these are all different situations, mm-hmm. but here's Trey Lance going into year 3. What exactly is San Francisco going to think about him if Brock Purdy takes him to a Super Bowl, right?
Precisely. You know,
it's going to be tough for them to be like, nope, Trey, week 1, play 1, go. It's going to be tough. That's a tough mm-hmm. bill to sell. What if he's average, right? So for me, this is now – I surmised that he was going to get week 1, play 1 opportunity because I felt like it was going to be Jimmy G and Jimmy G was going to move on. But holy smokes, man. This is a very, very unique situation. I have no idea mm-hmm. what they're going to do. If I had to bet, I'd bet, you know, 51-49 that he is the starter week 1 mm-hmm. next year. But it's not for sure, is it?
No, it's not. And I think we've also seen him run their offense a little bit last year, mm-hmm. a little bit this year. I know that the game in Chicago was all muddy and it wasn't great.
Right.
I don't, It's hard to say, okay? All I'll say is it's hard to say that he operated the offense as relatively the same level as any of the two guys that have done it since. I'll just say that. I'll put it out there. And I don't know that, again, it's still not enough film on Trey Lance because he's been hurt and coming in, subbing in and out for Jimmy Garoppolo being hurt at times. So there's room for him to grow. Do I think that he's better than Brock Purdy? Yes, I think he's better than Brock Purdy. And I don't, I just, like, when you said it, because I was going to bring it up, you didn't. If Brock Purdy makes a run, I understand that this team is built to win around him. I understand all of that. But this is the same kind of thing we talked about with Mike White. He operates the offense, and he does it well. That's all you need with that offense. So getting into the postseason is one thing. We'll see how he looks, because I can tell you right now, I've seen a couple games, and there are some very big Jimmy Garoppolo throws in there where, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing?
Here you go. You want to hear something crazy? In his entire professional and collegiate career, Trey Lance has 420 pass attempts.
That's it.
What are you talking about that we know he's good or don't? I've just said we don't know. We don't know shit. He had one great year with a dominant team that won the whatever FB22, you know, sort of JV fucking championship, right? I mean, yeah. Look, he won that. He did great. He didn't throw a pick, 28 touchdowns. I mean, he was good. I get it. But I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. And so the one thing I've said about quarterbacks at the NFL level, they need to be able to withstand the pressure and deliver the ball on time and on target.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's doing that right now? Brock Purdy.
Yep.
Whether or not Trey Lance can do that consistently at the NFL level is a fucking mystery. You know who else it's still a mystery about? Justin Fields. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the one out that Justin Fields has is 4-4 wheels.
He has just a get-out-jail-free card.
It's a get-out-jail-free card. Like, he may or may not be a good quarterback. I'm still there. I'm not like, no, dude, for sure. No, not for sure. I'm willing to still bet on Justin Fields as a pro player, but I see the downside. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the Trey Lance defenders see no downside with this motherfucker. And I'm like, how? How can you be so sure about this guy? I feel like I am so unsure. You could tell me he's going to be great, and I'd be like, sure, okay, I believe you. Or you could tell me he's going to be awful, and I'd be like, yeah, stands to reason. Yeah. 420 career pass attempts in the last 6 years.
Yeah, I think people are really just kind of hitching their wagons to what's going on with Brock Purdy right now. They're saying, look, the draft capital is with Trey Lance. We've seen Brock Purdy do a really nice job here. At least Trey Lance offers a rushing element, is what they're saying. They're saying, so he's going to get the starting job, and he's going to be the guy. So to that end, I understand. Quarterback 13, no thank you.
Right.
I can't do that. But we'll find out. That's the best part about this, is that I can't give you guys any real evidence because he hasn't put enough on tape for us to even make that evaluation. He doesn't.
Maybe. We have no clue. We have no idea. That's the answer, is we don't know.
It's a lot of fun. This one, I was excited to see him this year. I'll be excited again next year to see him. And then this is a guy, before the draft cycle last year, I was high on, got into the draft cycle. I was like, I don't know. I'm not so sure about this guy. And now he lands it in Kansas City, of all places.
Yeah.
Traded for Kadarius Toney. I know everyone got a little, this is the same old thing with Kadarius Toney. He comes in, plays a couple games, gets hurt, and he comes back. And we're seeing the scripted touches in Kansas City. The whole snow globe play was right to Kadarius Toney. Then they went back to him on an end around for a touchdown. We're going to see how he does in the postseason. We'll see what the scheme touches look like. A lot of Sky Moore fans are really, really upset that the Chiefs traded for Kadarius Toney because those touches went to him. But how much does Kadarius Toney scare you?
A ton. I will say this. Speaking of scared, Sky Moore looks scared all year. Just as a quick aside, like, he just would stand on the sideline and, like, you know, sometimes you look at a guy, you're like, that dude ain't it. And I felt that way by looking in Sky Moore's eyes. I know that sounds so stupid, But, you know, some of you guys are listening going, yeah, I've done that too. Like, sometimes you just look, you're like, nope, not him.
I can tell you why that was a little bit. It's because the team special team coordinator kept throwing him out there when he's not a punt returner. And bingo. That's, what am I supposed to do? I'm not good at this, but you keep making me do it.
Dude, the dumbest thing I've ever seen was like, well, you seem to suck at this. Let's get you in there for it. Yes, of course. That's when it was, too. He'd like muff a punt and come to the sideline and be like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, yeah, I know. You should be running like 20 routes from the slot and flanker just to see what you can do, intermediate routes and see, you know. No, let's not do that. Let's get him on punt returns where he has no fucking clue. Okay, Kadarius Toney. I have one of the best relationships with Kadarius Toney on Twitter and on my podcast and everything. Like, I have gotten more play off of Kadarius Toney. I gave him a nickname called Cadaver the Tony, which was because he was dead to me coming through the draft process. I roasted, what's his name? It's killing me now. I can see his stupid glasses. The draft guy who said he was a better prospect than Justin Jefferson ever was. No. the former GM of the Washington Redskins, NFL Network. God. Charlie Casserly.
I'm so sorry
I couldn't come up with that on the spot. That's why I'm not a pro, guys, if I was any better at this. But listen, Charlie Casserly had a mock draft and had him going in the correct slot, which I didn't have a problem with because I heard he was going to get. But in that slot, it was to the Bears at 21. Mm-hmm. He said, could use a, diverse weapon and – Kadarius Toney is a better prospect than Justin Jefferson ever was.
Absurd.
And I said, the fuck he is. He's never been a better prospect than Justin Jefferson ever was. Like, even coming out of high school, I guess Justin Jefferson was a 3-star. Jefferson, are you kidding me? So I roasted Casserly over and over every podcast about Kadarius Toney. Here's the thing. If Kadarius Toney were a late third round pick in the NFL, mm-hmm. I'd have been like, ooh, I like this guy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this guy. Super athlete, right? Yeah. Super athlete, rugged, fast, shifty, not very nuanced, doesn't really have much in the way of like route running, or he's just not a wide receiver. So to take him in the first round is malpractice, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's why when Daboll got here, he was like, yeah, thank you very much. I think actually if I could – and I hate to do this. I don't like to. He's probably a knucklehead. I mean, right?
Maybe.
You know, you don't trade talent if they're like, hard worker in the whole thing, like just connected. Like you look in their eyes, you're like, this guy's got it. I'm going to get him where he needs to go. I think Daboll probably got in there and was like, oh, geez. Yeah, we're going to get rid of this motherfucker. Never going to happen.
Felt like that for sure.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So I think, I think Daboll did that. He was not afraid. Galladay, get the fuck out of here with your lazy ass. Toney, you're an idiot. Get out of here. I just think he was analyzing these guys and just boom, let's get him out of here. And so, I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out because I don't think he's going to ever be an alpha. And I think that that's the way the market treats him. By the way, I just mentioned the market has him well above Elijah Moore. You're taking him over Elijah Moore?
Yeah. That's the thing, though. That's exactly what I was going to get to because I like the player. I like the spot. I know what they're going to do. I also know that right now this offense with Patrick Mahomes is going to divvy the football. It's going to divvy it everywhere. They're going to get him some scheme touches, but he's not a wide receiver one. Like you said, I think that he's going to learn and grow in this offense. I think the Chiefs wouldn't have won. The Chiefs wouldn't have traded for him if they didn't think they could get him to work in this, not just offense, but in the locker room. I think that whatever happened in New York, he's got a little bit of a new lease on his career.
Yes.
And just hope that he doesn't do anything stupid. That's all that matters right now. You're in a good spot with a generational quarterback.
Correct.
Just do your job and do what they ask of you. I'm expecting him to come into camp next year looking a little bit more refined in his routes because it's not there yet. But he's shown actually some really nice go get the football ability.
Dude, he's awesome, right? Like he's athletically body control. He's an incredible athlete. And if it was something other than him being a knucklehead, this take will be wrong and he could be something because when you see him make plays, you're like, dude, This guy's fucking good. And that's what we saw in college too. It's like, but the thing is, there's a difference between a guy who can do things and a guy who's a, you know, a pro wide receiver. Like, put him in every down.
Yeah.
He'll do everything, you know, block, deep, intermediate, you know, all of it. He just does it all. That's a Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. And you see it. You're like, no. These guys are fucking, put them wherever. It's fine. And then there's guys like this where you're like, you know, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I remember I comped him to Lynn Bowden. And I liked Lynn Bowden. I mean, he was a good player. I mean, he played quarterback. He would run the football. Like, I was like, Lynn Bowden was an athlete who might turn into a wide receiver or some sort of professional positional player. I don't know what position, but I think they miscast him too. They kind of ruined him in the NFL, but that's besides the point.
They did.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, is Tony going to get ruined? Or, you know, I thought the Chiefs did a great job because they played him on what, like, you know, 20 snaps. And it was like, that's perfect.
They gave him the Tyreek Hill rookie role. That's what they did.
Yep.
It's exactly what they did. And that's perfect for him as a young player. I do expect him to, like I said, grow this offseason, but he's going to have some competition. I do think Juju Smith-Schuster will be back, and that's really also perfect for him because what he needs to work on is what Juju Smith-Schuster and Travis Kelce do really well.
He's
finding those spots and zones and getting open, and I think that'll help him out. But in terms of the value, if he's ranked ahead of Elijah Moore, no thank you. That's a big no for me. I think you're going to see some spike weeks from him for sure. Absolutely, that you're going to get those, but you're also going to get a big fat zero a couple of weeks too. I fully expect that to happen. So value wise, he scares me from that perspective because he's
going to be overvalued. They should play him just like they are and like a Debo Samuel, Percy Harvin type of role.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, he's a football player in that way, and that for that reason, he could be a better real life football player than fantasy player, right? Like you know, where like he has a few big runs here and there, and like. But man, that doesn't, you know, he's not going to get you 10 catches ever, you know, it's like,
no,
but he'll score some touchdowns. And as you point out, maybe best ball or whatever, but I think he's one of those types of players and an ultimate weapon to have in certain situations. And he puts pressure on the defense. Cause if he's in the lineup, you're like, where the fuck's he going? Is he in motion? What's he doing? You know, exactly. It's like, that motherfucker, he's gone. If I don't tackle his ass, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad we talked about some of these guys. Cause I think it's a good perspective to have that these guys are going to be really nice in their situations. But for dynasty purposes and fantasy, you have to be able to gauge. Like, I don't think so. I don't buy the BS you guys are trying to sell me. I keep trying to cut with how is his value. We are going to end on the tight end I think really took a lot of people, maybe not everybody, by surprise in Tennessee this last 2 months. Chigga Okonkwo. Do you think this is a flash in the pan for him? Because honestly, the dude is massive. He has speed. He can catch the ball wherever it is. People like Jelani Woods. This dude's better than Jelani Woods is. And he has almost zero competition. I know that Austin Hooper's there. I don't know if Austin Hooper's going to be there. And plus, Austin Hooper's no good at playing tight end. So where do you value Chigga Okonkwo right now? I want to just give me just a baseline point. I'll do it this way. Would you rather have Chigga Okonkwo or Cole Kmet?
That's a good question. That's actually a good one. Wow, that's a really good one.
On the spot thinking.
Wow. I think the correct answer is Cole Kmet. But the fact that I have to hesitate
tells
you everything that you need to know about how I feel about Chigga Okonkwo. I absolutely love him. You know, the thing I've always preached at the tight end position in Okonkwo does this is access to ceiling. Like ultimately we see it every year. There was like 20 tight ends, you know, that were clustered together after the top four. Right. And really 20 after the top one, whatever, you know, but there was like, you know, three or four guys behind Kelce that were, you know, Goddard, Hockenson, Kittle, right. You know what I mean? That were like, these guys are good too. You know, Andrews had a down year. Pitts is still great, but was hurt. Like, okay. But you know, so Pitts gives you access to ceiling, obviously. Andrews, Kelce, Hockenson, Kittle, Goddard. I think that's your six. And then you get into guys like Freiermuth, who I love. Nice player.
I do too.
You know, nice player. Probably not a ceiling guy, more of a floor play.
Absolutely.
So you know what I mean? So at that position, after that, that's why I like Dulcich, ceiling.
Yes.
Njoku, sure. Ceiling. Obviously, Waller, when he comes back, will be 30. I think he's a good buy low if you have him, you know, if you can steal him. But a Chig, ceiling is one of the reasons I liked Albert O. Now, he busted out like a, you know, gutter ball, but it doesn't matter. Because here's the thing. If you drafted Albert O, you could drop him in week two.
Yeah.
Like exactly. In any league. Or, you know, if you have him in Dynasty, it was not like you ever had to pay anything. He was a fourth mm-hmm. or fifth round rookie pick or some late startup pick. Like, he never cost you anything. And when you got him, you had access to immense ceiling because of his profile. And he didn't. So you're like, oh, so? I mean, yeah, I'm not stuck starting him. But, you know, if you draft Dawson Knox, you're like, okay, you get Dawson Knox. And he's a good mm-hmm. player. He's fine. But he's not going to give you ceiling.
Yeah.
It's not there for him.
Three times a week, a season, he will.
yeah, sure, maybe here and there, you know, right? So that's ultimately what you're looking for. Noah Fant used to offer you ceiling. Now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but, you know, he I don't know what is going on with Noah Fant, but, you know, there's all players like that, right? So I think Chig is one of those guys that once you get to the Freiermuth area, mm-hmm. you have to be thinking about him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
You have to be thinking about him because you want to make it a priority to draft him. And it's not because he is going to be good. It's that he has a very good chance to be good. And if he is good, he could be great.
I love that. And I think that's what you're looking for, especially in this tight end, a clusterfuck that we like to call it. I don't really know. And if you hit on somebody, if Chigakonku scores 7 touchdowns next year, guess what? He's going to be a top 5 tight end. I'll tell you right now. Yep. And that's another thing. I'm going to say this. I will have him probably ranked higher next year, depending on the quarterback situation, over Cole Kmet. And that's not because Justin Fields is, I think, is a bad quarterback. I actually believe that he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Cole Kmet has almost no touchdown upside in that offense. He doesn't score touchdowns. True. We know it. We have 2 years to prove that he does not do it. And they're going to be going out to add more pass catchers in Chicago. And we know that already Chig, with whatever quarterback's throwing him the football, Josh Dobbs, he is catching touchdown passes. He is a target. Doesn't matter who it is. If you came to me right now and said Josh Dobbs is their starting quarterback next year for all games, I would take Chigakonku over Cole Kmet.
Yeah, I love that take. That's a strong take. I love it. And I love the process. It's like you can replace what Kmet gives you.
Yes.
You can't replace what Okonkwo could give you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for. That's what you need at tight end. Because at the end of the day, it's the biggest crapshoot unless you have Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Right now, Tyler Higbee is the tight end 25 in Dynasty. You know what I mean? Dude, Tyler Higbee... you know, flip a coin as to who's going to outscore each other, Tyler Higbee or Cole Kmet next year.
Like, yeah.
Now, that's the tight end 11 versus the tight end 25. It's like, you know, whatever, dude. Tyler Conklin is the tight end 29. Hunter Henry, 30. Like, you just look down there, you're like, dude, there's guys, man. I can get a guy. Yeah, I can get a guy.
Absolutely. Seriously,
you can get a guy. But, you know, and Kmet is a guy, but a good guy. He's a good one.
Yeah, I like him.
He's a good guy, but he's not ever going to be this top level pass target with, you know, huge run after catch. You know what led us to George Kittle, because George Kittle was a fifth round pick as a as a rookie. He was, you know, not a top. He was right around the same position, by the way, after his rookie year, a little bit higher actually, right around tight end 12. And I said he's going to be a tight end 1, and I was like, he's the tight end 1, like he's the best tight end in the league. People were like, you're fucking smoking crack. Check the receipts, motherfucker. And it was because it was so clear watching film. Now, you watch Chig, and I see some of the same things. I don't think he's quite Kittle, by the way.
No.
But he's a really good ball catcher, right? In other words, he goes up and gets it. He's so fast. I love Chig. So you're, you know, Nick Botiford right now, if he's listening, is like fucking pumping his fist. He came on my pod, and we did kind of a switcheroo, and he basically – did the show, interviewed me, kind of like you're doing now, whatever. And he loved Chig. And right after that show, he took off. And so Nick was like, dude, I told you, right? And we're like, yeah, man. So yeah, it's a guy our eyes were on the whole way.
Oh, I love that. I'm looking forward to see what he does this year. And I just, tight ends, guys, if you're interested in tight ends, this draft class is really good. So just kind of study up on it. It's going to be fun to watch who goes where. A lot of different talented tight ends coming out this year. out of college football. So I'd like to reintroduce Scott once more time.
Hey, by the way, before you do that, before you do that, think about in your rookie drafts, you know, there's really, it's very simple. You take the super elite quarterbacks. Don't worry about all the other shit bags. Just take the, no, seriously. And then even in super flex, you don't need, you know, all these other guys. I mean, I took maybe like one Matt Corral, one Desmond Ridder, one Malik Willis, and one, you know, what was the other one? There was another one.
Pickett and
Howell.
Howell.
And yeah, I got a couple Pickets, you know, but, you know, really, I wasn't investing in those guys in the second and third round. If one of them slipped, I didn't prioritize them. If they were there and I was like, you know, let's take a shot on a quarterback. Here and there I did. I'm in like 16 to 20 leagues. I took like one of each. Okay. So not very often. You go get the elite guys. There was none really. I guess Pickett was a starter, so you had to take him. Okay. And then elite wide receivers. You don't need to take wide receivers way down the list. Once you get way down the list, you should just be hammering tight end and running back.
Yeah.
Because
I don't disagree.
Bellinger's also another one. He's going to be a starter in New York next year. He would have had a breakout year. So he's actually undervalued right now because of the – he got like his eye socket fucked, you know, caved in or something.
So weird.
So, yeah, dude, that sucked. You know, so right now this is – yeah, that's why you take him because it was so cheap to get him. Fourth, fifth round. Mm-hmm. In some cases, free. Literally, I would go after the draft and go pick up all these tight ends and stash them. And it was Bellinger, Okwonkwo, likely Dulcich was drafted. But Otten, Jelani Woods was drafted. But all those guys, you just stack them and put them in, you know, put them on your taxi squad, whatever. Jake Ferguson looked pretty good, actually. But, you know, whatever. You just shove all these guys, and some of them will just flame out, just like all the other guys do. Tommy Tremble and all these guys. But all you have to do is get rid of them when they flame out. But if they hit, you got a starting tight end for nothing, for absolutely zero. And then, you know, so that's the way to play tight end. That's why I didn't advise drafting Kyle Pitts at like the 101, like everybody was talking about. It's like, he might be good. As a matter of fact, I think he's the best tight end prospect ever.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean he's going to be, you know, we don't know what that means for his fantasy outlook. So anyway, long story short, God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, I love that. That was really great insight because that's something that I didn't do before and I'm probably going to be doing this offseason with these rookie drafts. It makes a lot of sense the way you talk about it, especially the way that teams – NFL values running backs, tight ends for the most part. When they hit, they hit, and when they don't, they chip them off just like you can do. So it's a really perfect system. Please, you guys, make sure you're following him on Twitter at Dino Game Theory. Please do it. He's a great follow. Tons of great stuff. I know that you make sure to check out his podcast as well. You can find that over on his Twitter as well. Thank you once again, Scott, for joining me today. This was awesome. Awesome conversation as it always is. And I hope that y'all enjoyed this because we're going to do this more often. We're going to do it a couple more times between now and the next season. I can pretty much guarantee you that. This has been the Fantasy Football Astronauts podcast. You guys can find me on Twitter at InHarmsWay19. And we are blasting off again. We'll see you guys next time.